You're listening to a special Stumptown Trade Review coming from the Emerald City Comic Con. We're sitting down this afternoon with Joe Kelly of Man of Action Studios and the creator of I Kill Giants. So thanks a lot for sitting down with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So let's take a look at I Kill Giants. It came out in individual issue form and then was collected at the end of 2009. Give us some sort of sense of where this story came from.
Well, I actually wrote it many years before it came out. It started with a combination of things. I just had a child. She was just a few years old. And my father had been getting, he got sick from diabetes. And it was the first time I sort of had to face real mortality of a parent. So I just started imagining my daughter, who was very precocious and intelligent and creative, and wondering, you know, what would her life be like if she was sort of in that situation. And that became the germ for the story, taking a fantasy life and putting it onto a real situation. So that and it took a long time. I had the script for quite a while, and then tried to get different people to draw it. Some of them, it just didn't work out timing wise. And then I met Ken like literally years after the script was done. So
yeah, how did that collaboration come about? Because it seemed like that art style just matched the story so well.
It was great. You know, I met Ken at a convention in Spain, and he had a little book of all his comics that he had done in various places. And he can draw so many different styles. It's insane. So I said, hey, you know, would you maybe be interested in working together? I have this project you might be good for. And I sent him the script, and he said he loved it. Would I mind if he drew it in a manga style, because he could do it faster? And I was like, well, all right, I never really thought of that, but sure. And then he said, now I know you describe Barbara as having curly red hair, but if we're going to do it black and white, it really will just look like spaghetti. I've drawn it 10,000 times. So what about bunny ears? And I was like, what? And he said, you know, she's an odd girl and she's trying to find her way. So what if she wears these hats? And we never explain it. And people could take it as, it's just part of her thing. They could take it as reality. Certainly in manga, it goes along. So I said, you know what? Let's try it. Let's go for it. And he is such an amazing collaborator who he brought so much to the story, so much to the look, and it really was a perfect fit. I couldn't have asked for, you know, a better situation.
I think that's one of the, you know, exciting parts about the I Kill Giants storyline, is that it is never clear which parts of the story are real and which parts of the story are fantasy up until, I mean, that very, very last moment. And I think that's what's so exciting about it. And was that something on your part where you sort of ran with the idea of the bunny ears and all and let him sort of throw in all these fantasy elements and just never explain it? Or was that something you had scripted along the way?
Oh, yeah, no, that was always intentional. You know, I try not to throw out, like, haughty terms, but, you know, I love magical realism and, you know, the idea that that an individual's experience could have such an impact on the universe that it kind of cracks for a little bit. But then, as you're looking at it, there's ways to justify it as reality, so you're not sure which way it was. And this idea that the universe can sort of bend for you when you need it, you know? So the fantasy elements were always in there. Obviously the giant was always in there, you know, so that was really the spine of the story. And because otherwise it would have been a sort of maudlin drama, you know, and it wasn't really what I wanted to do. So and then Ken just enhanced it with the bunny ears and the use of the fairies. Actually, some of that came from suggestions from people, because like I said, I had the script for a long time, so the notes built up over time and I was able to redo it.
Well, and the fact that it was never explained just makes the moment when, you know, Kovaleski finally makes an appearance just pop. That was probably one of our favorite moments of the entire year, was the reveal of Kovaleski.
That's very cool. Thank you.
So, so you have a voice, it seems, for writing younger characters, whether it's, you know, Ben 10 or Barbara from I Kill Giants. Where does this sort of younger voice come from? Because as I look at you, you don't appear to be a middle school child.
Unfortunately, yeah. I love dialogue, and it's sort of from the beginning of my work, you know, like Deadpool or whatever. I mean, it's where I focus, and a lot of character comes out for me through dialogue. So I try to keep an ear out for it. You know, I just, any character that I'm working on, I I try to hit it from that side. It's a major component of the character for me. So, but I don't know. I guess I never think of them in terms of youthful or aged or whatever. It's just how does this person sound, you know? And actually, Barbara originally was going to be like 9 years old, and all of my guys were like, nobody's going to buy it. You have to age her up. And I was like, okay, you know, but I really wanted this smart-ass 9-year-old. Because I hear kids talk like that, you know, but I think it was good to put her in middle school. But yeah, it's just something it's just sort of part of my writing DNA. It's like where I like to go.
So I Kill Giants originally, like I said, came out in individual issue form, then was collected in a soft cover. Now we're here at the show and we're looking at this Titan edition that's coming out. Tell us a little bit about what we can expect from this Titan edition, because it is substantially larger than the initial collection.
Yeah, the Titan edition, it's obviously just physically bigger. Because Ken knew he was working for a European and American audience. The art, it's not like blown up. He actually made art for European aspect ratio and then cropped it down for American. So technically there's like more border art and stuff. But it contains a lot of design work from Ken. The first script, the last script of the series, all of the back matter that was in the regular trade, and also all the little cartoons that were in the individual issues. The covers, which to see in black and white and just laid out, are beautiful. So, it's got a lot of extra material.
Fantastic. So do you have plans to work with Ken again in the future, or do you have things that you are setting aside now that you know the style and what he's capable of?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I'm dying to work with Ken again. I'm trying to dig out of the hole of some of my, you know, current commitments. But, the next project we're planning to do is something called Immortal Sergeant. It's a project I've wanted to work on for a very long time. I think Ken's going to be great for it. It's like a drama, coming-of-age drama. He's so diverse. I'm trying to do, like, a horror anthology, and he's going to do one of those, too. So he's somebody that I'm happy to work with, you know, until he's sick of me. I'm glad I caught him when nobody knew him yet, because pretty soon he won't take my calls.
And so seeing again, is Barbara's story done, or is there a chance to see more Barbara somewhere along the way?
It's funny. I a lot of people ask me that, and I would love to do another Barbara story on the one hand, but on the other hand, I really felt like this is its own thing, and it was very self-contained, and it would be very difficult for me, I think, to go back to that world in a meaningful way, you know, to go back to her story. I sort of had one thought, but it... felt like it kind of cheapened it, and so it was better to kind of leave it alone. And that's what other things like Four Eyes or Bad Dog or something are for, where I can tell more of an ongoing story.
Fantastic. So we're going to wrap up the way we usually do with asking you, what's your issue? What is one comic that you have read that has just stuck with you because it was so wild, so over the top, so crazy that you just have to share the excitement with other people?
I'm glad you asked that question, because it's a weird book. It's by Osamu Tezuka. And it's called Ode to Kirihito. And it is it starts out as like a medical drama about basically a young doctor who his director doesn't trust him, and they have an argument about something. And he gets sent out to investigate this disease that's sort of turning people into like dogs, and then they die. But what this director has done is sabotage him. So when he goes out there to this Chinese province, he'll catch a disease. But he figures it out in the middle, so he stops it. So he becomes a sort of like horribly disfigured guy. But now he's trying to rush back to tell the world that he's made the cure, and he gets kidnapped by somebody like a billionaire who has his own sideshow. And from there, it just gets weirder. Like, it's dark. Tezuka, you know, we know Astro Boy and stuff like that, but he has this vast body of work, some of which is like crazy dark. And this is not as dark as, like, MW, which is even weirder, but it gets very dark, but it's also really hopeful. It's got all the themes of sort of, like, love and faith and all that through his journey as he's trying to make his way back to, I forget if it's China or Japan, but I believe it's Japan, and sort of tell the truth. And it's that story really had a big impact on me. I only read it a couple of years ago, but it is a very bizarre, great read. It's a nice, thick book, so... Ode to Kirihito.
All right, thank you very much. I think we have something else to go look for in the show now. All right, thanks a lot. We appreciate you sitting down with us.